Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
Which I didn't realize that in Florida there is not going to be a Democrat primary tomorrow, just a Republican one. Now, I don't know if that means that nobody got on the ballot, Marion Williamson or whoever else was supposedly running. But there will be a primary for the only candidate that's still left in the Republican primary. I'm so, like, what happens? I'm going to go vote tomorrow, but I don't have a choice, right? There's only one candidate left. And they're telling me, go vote, go vote. Okay, I'm going to go vote, but this is very concerning. We're already looking at some messed up elections. And of course, the insanity, I think Dan Bongino hit it right on the nail, right on the head, when he said, we've gotten to the point where we pay no attention to what the media actually says. Well, there's some stupid people who still do, but for the most part, we're not paying any attention because it's ridiculous. The bloodbath comment. Everybody looks stupid. He's talking about the auto industry. And today, whoops, I don't know what that is. Turn that off. But today, we're back to the same nonsense. Only today, it's, oh my God, the billionaire can't come up with the money. She's going to seize his assets. Now, the DA in New York can do that. From what I understand, everything I've read, she can seize his New York assets. How do you think that will play out in November? Do you really think that the American people are comfortable with that? With all of his assets being seized? Now, I know there's a lot of left-wing lunatics in New York, but surely some of them still think the Constitution is a valid document and maybe we should try and uphold it. Just saying. I don't think every liberal is a moron. Just a lot of them. So I don't know what to tell you, but you can't possibly think you're getting accurate stories. You get these gleeful exposés and headlines like, oh, a billionaire can't come up with the money. How does that in any way, shape, or form educate a public and help them to make good decisions? Does it? It has the opposite effect. It turns people off to the point where they don't even participate in the process anymore. And who could blame them? You could just, it's like the rabbi at the wall when he was asked repeatedly by the reporter, what are you praying for? And he kept saying, well, I'm praying for peace. And after like the 10th time, the reporter said, well, Rabbi, what are you praying for? He says, I'm praying for peace. And he goes, well, how do you feel, Rabbi? And he says, like I'm talking to a wall. And that's what it feels like when you're trying to get the news. Like you're listening to a wall. Cowards. The media is filled with cowards who've lost their nerves. There's so many places that we could go to seek information, to watch, read, and get the news. But nobody believes any of them anymore. So with the plethora of outlets, we have a populace which is probably less informed than it's been in decades. Thousands of stories that you'll never read. A shrinking number of publications that even have enough guts to confront the powers that be or enough resources to stay in the business. You can't even get a modestly negative revelation about a popular public figure into print anymore. If you find out that so-and-so, like for instance, that guy Jay Shetty, who was a lifestyle podcaster, interviewed President Biden and talked about how, you know, there was some fudged details about his life. So what happened? Why, he got a better job reporting for Esquire. And then Esquire, of course, they weren't interested in his critical tone. You can't make this stuff up. Journalists have run fearfully away from covering the news, with the exception of a few things. Like, I think the Free Press is trying. It's trying to do investigative journalism, but it's not cost effective. I feel for them. You have legal fears keeping people from saying much. If you dare to talk about the wrong person and give the wrong story, you could end up like Gawker. Remember when Peter Thiel was upset with a reporting that was done in the publication Gawker? He basically shuttered them. And that year, there were a lot of people who expected Donald Trump to open up the libel laws. But that's just not happening. Media lawyers say that plaintiff's attorneys, they're now emboldened by the $788 million settlement that Fox agreed to pay to Dominion. Now we got lawyers suing media organizations, getting more and more aggressive. Reuters been forced to at least temporarily take down an expose they had about the CEO of an Indian tech company because there was a court order issued in New Delhi. And then the same CEO hired the same law firm in the United States to go after publications that wrote about the Indian tech company here. The cost of defamation insurance is off the charts. You know, my son, Derek, who you hear on Fridays with me from TMZ, he's still a practicing attorney, and what he does is represent TMZ. So he goes into court every time a celebrity or somebody in the public eye wants to challenge a story that's put up on the TMZ website or appears on the TMZ evening program or their weekly whatever. They're being sued all the time, so he'll never, you know, not have a job. But they used to have defamation insurance that would cover suits like that. You can't afford that anymore. News outlets are paying more for defamation insurance than they're paying in salaries for investigative journalists. Imagine. There's a, I can't remember his name, but there's a First Amendment lawyer who wrote an article a couple of weeks ago that I read. I wrote it down somewhere. I'll find it, but it'll be after the show. And he put in the article, he said that if you want to get insurance right now to defend you in case there's a claim, and you happen to be a publisher of media information, the cost of defamation insurance will make you incapable of staying in business. You'll be either kicked off your insurance for the first claim, or it'll be in the millions. It can be in the millions of dollars. That's so crazy. So, of course, what that means is everybody's lost their swagger, right? You're not going to take a chance if it could put you out of business. So much for the days of great investigative journalists. I mean, whether you agree with the politics of anybody or not, there was a time when you had these guys go hunting down stories, even guys in the Washington Post. I mean, obviously, Watergate was a huge story. And the two reporters, Bernstein and Woodward, well, they were lauded. Everybody thought they were the greatest reporters on earth. They could not, literally, they could not do that journalism today without the risk of being sued out of existence. The Washington Post would not have allowed that story to even run. And I'm talking about a big story like that. But think of all the little stories that aren't being published by Esquire and Cosmo and Vanity Fair and The Atlantic. You know, there was an article about, and this was a story that had a lot of legs. When I say legs, it had a number of sources, a lot of verification from the sources about these allegations of sexual misconduct against the director, the Hollywood director, Singer, Bryan Singer. And it was months before they would publish that article because they had to go through every kind of legal maze that was out there. Editors at Hearst, which is Esquire's new parent company, or they're the parent company, they have to report to general managers who only have one purpose, and that is the bottom line. So if you're overseeing a magazine like Esquire or any other fashion publication, you don't want to risk anything because your advertisers will dry up. In the entertainment world, Rolling Stone magazine CEO, they were just talking in an article maybe last week about their frustration because they keep using these anonymous sources. Why? Since Noah Shachtman left, who was the editor-in-chief, they're using these, if you want to call them, sources, anonymous sources. They're not really sources, in my opinion. But they do that so they can't get sued. And no one can say, well, you have to hand over your sources. Like they just did to the gal who used to work for Fox and then went to ABC or CBS or some other big, you know, alphabet soup network. And they confiscated all of her material. They confiscated her computers, her contacts, her cell phones. Yeah, it's a weird time. So two things are going on at the same time. One, they don't have the guts to do that kind of journalism anymore. And two, the higher-ups won't allow them to do it. Can't afford to take the chance. A spokesman for the Rolling Stone publisher said that the magazine publisher had not published the piece that I'm talking about because the public relations firm representing Jay Shetty stopped them. How do you stop a publication from publishing the truth? You can't, but you can now. LA Times, their top editor, this guy Kevin Morita, he just left because the owner was fixated on a story about a lawsuit against some wealthy California businessman. And that's all he wanted covered. So, good luck to us all, right? How are we going to get the news that we need to make decisions that are going to affect not just our lives, but future generations of Americans? You know, Facebook said, what was it, 2-3 years ago? Really, at the right after the beginning of COVID, that they were not going to do a lot of news on their platform anymore. They were going to de-emphasize it because they had problems. They had ad problems, and they felt people had news fatigue, and anybody who's still in the news business was in trouble. And then you had Vice, BuzzFeed, all of those, they got gutted. And Gawker and the rest of them, HuffPost, and, you know, they got bought out by other companies, and then they had to shut up. Barry Diller's still bankrolling the Daily Beast, even though they've been trying to get rid of that. The parent company's been trying to sell that forever. Some of the scrappier digital media outlets, you know, they're hanging in. Free Press is hanging in and sending reporters around the country in this election year to report from all over the country. So it's still happening, but it's happening, one, on a shoestring, two, because there's a handful of people that have the guts to do it. And I hate to tell you this, gentlemen, but a lot of them are women. Just saying. Anyway, don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app on your cell phone or on your laptop or your desktop, whatever, if you want to be involved in all the contests and get all the breaking news story. And you could have already listened to my No Restraint podcast, which drops today. Or just go to the website, 850WFTL.com, where you can access all of that. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I got my talking points done. I did. I mean, they're not perfect yet, but I'm going to try to get the first batch out for now. And the one thing that I'm going to tell everybody is you got to have the right attitude. You cannot challenge people who literally don't know what the heck they're talking about by vacillating or appearing like you also don't know what you're talking about. So you have to... Oh, it's up on the website. How about that? Yay. So you can go there and you can look at that. But I want you to be confident. This is not rocket science. Okay? And there are some people that will, they just don't want to hear it. And you just, as Christ himself said, you shake the dust off your feet and you keep moving. Don't waste too much time on people who are just stuck on stupid. What I have learned is that there are plenty of people who really are confused by what's going on, know that life has not gotten better for them, and that they're constantly being told things that their eyes can see are not true. I don't think there are many people left in America who think that Hunter Biden's a good guy and that he deserved to be hired by Burisma and paid millions of dollars when he didn't know diddly squat about energy or the Ukraine. So there's an opening with these kinds of issues. I don't believe that there are a lot of people out there, even people who absolutely hate Donald Trump, who you cannot talk to about the Department of Injustice and what's been going on. If this isn't election interference, then I don't know what is. But you have literally, Mark Levin last night on his show said something that was so deep, so profound. I looked at my husband, he looked at me, and literally I got like choked up. I got like a knot in my throat or in my stomach or whatever. I knew it wasn't a good thing. When he said, they want to take Trump out completely so that Joe Biden isn't even running against anybody. Like if they can incarcerate Donald Trump before the election, Joe Biden is just, I guess, becomes the president. It's all pretty scary. And it's the kind of stuff that you read about happening in remote parts of the world, maybe in parts of South America or in parts of Africa or in parts of the Middle East. But I never dreamed that the day would come when I watched the Department of Justice try to destroy an individual. 91 counts? They didn't go after Bonnie and Clyde, Al Capone, that way. And now you have all of these supporters of one particular person, one party, the Republican Party, and the person Donald Trump, who are really, they're ticked off. They're tired of being called names. They're tired of not trusting the process. There was a Board of Supervisors meeting in Arizona's largest county, which of course is Maricopa, just last month, and people literally rushed the dais, shouting that the people who were up there were illegitimate. And they just took off. The leaders in Maricopa County were running for their proverbial lives. I don't think anybody was going to kill them, But they were nervous. They got escorted out by security guards, who then called for the sheriff to come out. And the live feed of that whole meeting, county meeting, went dead. And people in the crowd were saying, you know, this may be that moment where, just like the founding fathers, you have to decide. Do we need a revolution here? Now, I'm not calling for a revolution because I think we have many other tools at our disposal. But this is exactly, when you think about it, this is exactly what the founding fathers were talking about. The tyranny of government. They didn't think you needed Second Amendments or First Amendments because they were worried about some foreign country coming in here. We beat back all the big time foreign countries, from England to France to Spain. We always won those wars. But they were scared that our own government might turn on us. And when you look at a Department of Justice indicting a former president 91 times and now insisting that if he doesn't come up with like $500 million, they're going to seize his property. Do you ever think that was going to happen? And is it really okay with you? I know it's okay with, Alvin Bragg and Letitia James and Jack, whatever his name is. But it's really not okay with most of us. And so when you see the people in Arizona, Maricopa County in particular, that feel like they got rooked in 2020, when you see them rushing, that is symbolic of what people are feeling all over the country. And it's not just people on the right, because you got to stop accepting that version of the media story, because the left is going berserk. The left is scared to death right now. They never dreamed that everybody was going to be done and that Donald Trump was going to get the nomination. I mean, why would they think that? They had leveled all these charges against him all over the country. So they thought he'd be out for the count, never mind the last one standing. So they're ticked off and they're frustrated. And they are also, like any other cornered rat, they are very, very vulnerable to movements that call for excessive force. That's all I'm going to say. And this is scary. It's easy to talk about blood in the streets and bloodbaths and all that rhetoric that you hear coming out, even if you're making it up like they did this weekend. But it's not really easy to contemplate that. It's one thing to have a revolution when you're a country that exists within 13 states. It's entirely different when you are the greatest nation and probably still in the top two or three of superpowers in the world, and the people within your country are talking about revolutions. That's some scary stuff. And it's the way they throw around these words like insurrection. Like, we don't have real meaning anymore to a lot of these expressions, which means that people feel real comfortable talking about them and even planning them. The scene at the end of that meeting in Maricopa looked like what happened when they announced that Joe Biden had won the county. And then, of course, when that happened that night in 2020, he won the state. And Trump supporters were freaked out. And that's just the truth. And now if they feel like they're not getting accurate information, if they feel as though they've been cornered, if they see that even the most powerful men can be ruined, bankrupted by a Department of Justice run amok, well, then you're going to have some angry people on your hands. And I don't know that they can organize, and I don't know if they'll have coordinated movements or any of that stuff, but I will tell you this. Be very, very mindful of what you say and where you go. That doesn't mean don't tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth to everybody. But I'm going to make sure I say to them, we all need to be engaging in civil debate right now. These are big issues, and this is an important time. We've been given the tools by the Founding Fathers and through those documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, we've been given the tools to handle this issue, this problem. We got to use them. And we got to have leadership that doesn't abuse us and abuse the system. So we'll say, you know, I put my points up there at stage one. I had a little help from some of the listeners. I thank those of you who contributed and participated in my process. You know, I'm just so grateful, and I have so many smart people in the audience. And check it out. Check it out at 850WFTL.com. Let me take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what I see as the my friend Howard Galganoff called it the poison elixir swallowed by the Jewish people. And I've been watching Chuck Schumer and all the rest of it. These people are sick and getting sicker by the moment. And I don't know how this happened, but it certainly is not good. It's not good for the Jewish people. It's not good for Israel. And I don't think it's good for America. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back. So there's no question that we have a two-party system for the most part in this country. Whether we like to delude ourselves into thinking that a third party at some point could actually be more significant than it's been in the past. I mean, I watched Ross Perot and the Green Party and the this party and the that party, but we have a two-party system right now, except that it's more like a uniparty than anything I've ever seen. And I don't I don't want to be affiliated with one half of this country, for the most part. It's not that I don't want to live in peace with them. I do. But I don't want anyone to, you know, mistakenly think that I believe that you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. That's just too stupid. I don't want to be affiliated with people who think it's okay to cut healthy body parts off of young teens because they are confused and not sure if they were born in the... I don't want to be affiliated with people who believe that stuff because it's just... I think it's evil. I don't want to be affiliated with people who think that it's okay to beat somebody up because you don't agree with them or because they are oppressors in the minds of your identity group. What is all this nonsense? I don't want to be affiliated with any of it. Now, I'll live harmoniously with them, but don't confuse yourselves. These are not people that are anything like us or like me. I can only speak for myself. You know, where's the politics of the men and women who created this country? I don't think it's left. And I don't think it's far right. But the Democrat Party has gone so far off the reservation. But they're corrupt to the point of insane. They're not even trying to hide the evil. They think it's okay to have these conversations about this gender nonsense. You know, that I have a Supreme Court justice who says she cannot define what a woman is? I just, that's a problem for me. And they just keep traveling down this shameless path. It's full of corruption. It's full of deceit. How far will they go? And the more important question is, when do we figure out how to push back? Dare I say fight back? Can't even say fight. Somebody will say, oh, she's calling for this, that, and the other thing. No, I'm not. They've gone down this path. They use the most violent language. they say things about MAGA. And then they get all outraged if anybody on the right uses an expression just like the ones they use. And there are too many people who think the way we do, who think like I think, to be so cowed, to be so fearful that the masses are in opposition to your position. I don't know anybody, literally. I don't know anybody, including people I know who have transgendered members in their family, transgendered friends, may even consider themselves, something other than male or female. But I just don't know a lot of them, and I don't think you do either. Because I don't believe there are a lot of people that are still trying to figure out if it's a good idea to allow a 13-year-old to have a double mastectomy. I just don't know people who are that crazy. Maybe they're out there. I'm sure they're out there. I see it all the time on the news, but I don't know any. Even the most liberal people I know will tell you, well, I draw the line there, or I draw the line there. They're always drawing the line when I bring up the absurd. But it's getting too late. You know, you can't now draw the line after you've indulged the insanity for this long. You look at our neighboring country to the north, Canada, and I talk about the Canadian border in my No Restraint podcast this week because people along that border in Vermont and New York, and they're fed up with what's happening at the northern border. And it's not all political. It's quality of life that they're frustrated by. So when you see a leader like Justin Trudeau, who literally weaponizes the government of Canada to go after people who he doesn't agree with, and then you start to see it happening in our own country, wow. It's getting worse, not better. And that's why if people were at all concerned that a guy like Donald Trump could win an election in 2016 and then probably win another election in 2024, maybe they should have been a little more reasonable. Maybe they shouldn't have kept trying to get people to agree to doing unthinkable things and believing unbelievable things. Maybe they should have left our faith out of it instead of going tooth and nail after people who profess a belief in God, whether it's Christians or Jews or even Muslims. They just don't want to hear it. And that has literally mobilized people of faith who would normally try and stay out of the whole political game and nonsense. But they can't anymore. They know that their culture is under a total threat of being annihilated, wiped out. And they're not willing to just allow that to happen. You know, saying you're pro-communist was kind of cutesy in the 60s and 70s, and you could wear your little Che Guevara t-shirt. But after looking at what has happened to human beings in countries where communism became the government, it's not so cutesy to wear the t-shirts anymore. In a country like America, where we have immigrants who have come in here legally or illegally, who have fled totalitarianism and communism and authoritarianism and all the rest of these nonsensical governments that just destroy cultures, the future actually hangs on this next election. Not just for us either. My friend Howard Galganoff said in his piece today, for Canada, even for countries that may not know it. This is a very, very pivotal moment in American history. It really is. I think it will go down in all of the history books as the moment when the American people said, enough is enough. Or when the American people failed to stop a leadership class of elites who stopped caring at all for what was in the best interests of the people and became so enamored of their own power that they said, screw the people, and then they proceeded to do that. Because there are plenty of people who feel that way, and it's not the ones, it's not the NASCAR, you know, Bud Light drinking crowd that I'm talking about. It's people from all different parts of the country and all different socioeconomic backgrounds and all different race and ethnicities. They just look around and they say, wait a minute. Who said that this was okay with Black Americans or with Hispanic Americans? Who said this was okay with straight Americans? It's not. And what you end up with is a mobilized population, and you better hope that they're nonviolent. You know, I pray all the time that it will be a nonviolent movement in this country. Because when you look at some of these videotapes, my husband was talking this week in church about this videotape of this young girl, bashing the head of another young girl into the concrete, and people just videotaping it. That's where we are. The level of violence, the level of disrespect. I mean, these flash mobs, which used to be cute because everybody, came to the mall and then broke into song. Well, now they break into stores and now they break heads. There is a real potential for something worse than we have ever imagined. And I'm one of these people that wants peace. I really do. But I'm not willing to give up freedom. You know, anybody who's willing to give up their freedom for peace won't have either. I wish I had made that up, but I didn't. The left has already made it clear. They showed us in 2020 that they will riot, they will burn, they will destroy, they'll even murder for political purposes. They've already declared that if Donald Trump was to win the White House in November of 2024, that they will not certify the election. So if anybody out there really believes that there's not going to be civil unrest whether Trump wins or loses, you're all by yourself. And it's time to face the music. We have to keep that from happening. But we also have to maintain our belief system, our culture, and our the sanctity of life. Because otherwise, I might as well just, I don't know where to go. There's nowhere to go. How about that? Anyway, don't forget, coming up after me is Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags and Lars Larson, the Overnight Guys, and then Jen and Bill will be back first thing in the morning at 6 a.m., followed by Brian Kilmeade at 9 and Dan Bongino at noon with me again at 3. But I still have one segment left today, so stay right where you are. I'll be right back. There's no big anti-Semitic problem in this country. There's everybody hates everybody, and that's just not true. Anti-Semitism is very real, and it just hit home again this weekend. And I think you'll hear probably very little coverage about it. But there was a Chabad temple, which is the Orthodox temple, on Los Olas, which was literally the victim of arson this weekend. Did you hear about it? No, you probably didn't. And it wasn't just the synagogue. There was a community center. And what I see in the news article in the Jerusalem Post, because I didn't see it in any local newspaper, that it was an act of arson early Saturday morning. damaging the synagogue, the Hebrew school, and the community center, according to the Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue, Fort Lauderdale Police Department, and the Las Olas Chabad. Security footage shows a man placing what appeared to be a flammable substance into the grill of a minivan parked outside the center. The arsonist, in custody and identified by the Fort Lauderdale Police Department as Scott Hannaford, age 50, had attempted to set fire to other objects outside the center, including what appeared to be an electrical box. Fire Rescue said on Saturday on social media that the fire leaped from the vehicle to the building. He had come prepared with materials needed to commit arson, and it did not seem to be a crime of opportunity, but a targeted attack, according to the co-director, Rabbi Chaim Slavatiki. His belief was informed by previous interactions with the alleged arsonist. It's not just an attack on the community, it's an attack on the entire city and the Jewish people. The Friday evening before the fire, the alleged arsonist had blocked the rabbi and his wife from entering an alleyway by the facility when they sought to park the car before Shabbat and a Hebrew school family dinner. Rabbi said that the arsonist screamed at the rabbi and raised his middle finger. The Chabad had negative interactions with Hannaford in the past, but Slavatiki said that while the center's neighbors saw him around the area, they didn't have such clashes with him. Consequently, they believe that Hannaford was targeting the Jewish community. FLPD said that based on the information it had at the time, the arson was an isolated incident and was not considered a hate crime. Hannaford was a transient suffering from mental illness and has been charged with arson, criminal mischief, and possession of cocaine. Let me just ask you a question. If this had happened to, let's say, the mosque in Pompano Beach, would we be saying it was an isolated incident by a transient with mental illness? No, we wouldn't. No, we would call it a hate crime. And CARE and every other Islamic support group would be on the streets of Las Olas. But the Jewish community? No. They're going to pretend that nothing happened. And they're going to accept this version of the story that this guy, who is apparently seen around that neighborhood but never ever goes after anybody except the Jewish temple, synagogue, didn't mean it in an anti-Semitic way. I mean, guys, it's this disconnect from reality that people are really tired of. It's like we can see it with our own eyes, and then you tell us it didn't happen. It's like Joe Biden saying, home ownership is affordable, but nobody can get a mortgage. Or it's like him saying that the border is secure, and we watch people stream over it in the millions. This was not a hate crime. Yeah. And according to Ketanji Jackson Brown, I may or may not be a woman. We'll have to, wait for the DNA. I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if it be his will and he delays his coming. What lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And check out the Talking Points, part one. There'll be another two parts. May God bless you. And may God bless Israel, and may God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.